its meaning, if you would, almost by how common it's become. We can make a resolution and tomorrow break that resolution. And I would just like to begin by saying that I think as God's people, what he's calling us to is a standard higher than that. Think about what life would be like as God's people and the world if they could only discover the power of a living gospel. What it would be like if our commitment would be such that we would take the Word of God and just simply respond by the direction it gives us. Live our lives with the knowledge that it is the foundation upon which we must build our lives. Not some weak resolution. And I'm not saying that that's all bad. I mean, I'm not saying that making a decision for me to lose weight or whatever is a bad thing. But if that's the thing that we go into with a commitment that, or some weak commitment that this is what we're going to change in 2023, we're going to find ourselves woefully inadequate to find the strength to do what needs to change in any area, from disciplinary action that I need to take in my life, or how I relate to people, or what I do with my job, or how I respond to people, or the list is endless. You could put in anything there that you wanted to, probably. But what if we actually came with a firm commitment because of a conviction from God's Word that we will take God's Word as a standard for our lives? And whenever we don't understand something maybe in life, that we would even be so willing as to seek counsel. Counsel is a safe place to go. And I think sometimes when we seek counsel from others, that counsel can actually come from God's Word. It may be somewhat hidden to us, but someone else might be able to help us see it through God's Word and from God's Word. This morning, so anyway, that's kind of what I was thinking, what we were, Will and I were talking last night to quick make some change of plans here, and it was late when we found out, so there wasn't, I need most of a Saturday to prepare a full message. Most of you've probably known that. And so I didn't panic, I just knew I didn't have enough time to share a message with you as I normally would. And so we were talking and decided that, you know, it would really be good to hear from you today. And so there will be time for that here in a bit. And just maybe even thinking about as a church, you know, what's your vision for where we could go and what we could do, where we could serve better, love each other better, and so forth. I know that's kind of big and broad, and it's probably way beyond what we have ability to talk about this morning, but if God leads you and directs any of that kind of thing in your heart, be free and open to share it. I'd like this morning to begin simply by looking at the very famous, popular scripture in Ecclesiastes 3, where it talks about time. And just kind of lay that out there as a foundation. And then I'd like to look at a few other scriptures this morning as a sort of a devotional meditation. And then I'm going to share a little story with you this morning. So Ecclesiastes chapter 3, beginning to read in verse 1. And we'll read through verse 8. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heavens. There's a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. You know, I was thinking about some of the things that 2022 brought us. And when I look at this list of things that are listed here, in almost every one of these comparisons, there's the message of joy and sorrow. Think about it. No one cries with sorrow when they receive their new son or daughter through birth. There's rejoicing, there's smiles, there's maybe even almost laughter, so much excitement. But when that grandparent is buried, or that close friend dies, there's weeping and there's sorrow. There's separation. It's hard. Life is that way. Life has joys and sorrows. And the older we get, the more we realize that, because we're beginning to feel our own mortality. But at the same time, there are also so many things where we rejoice and our joy is more abundant than our sorrow. We see our grandchildren coming along and growing and developing, and the incredible joy that we see as grandparents, and just the different aspects of life, and watching our children developing families of their own, and watching the cycle of life go on, and the children learning to love Jesus, and just all of those things. You know, there's a lot of things that could be talked about. Recently, we were sent a video on the ministry WhatsApp thing for the church fellowship, where David Wilkerson was talking about the call to anguish, to come before a living God with a desperate cry to know Him. And I think about that verse 4 there, a time to weep, a time to really come before Him in anguish and in a desire to know. Then there's the time to laugh and a time to mourn and time to dance. In 3, I wanted to mention that in a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up. That breaking down and building up, sometimes in real life you see that happening. There's an old house that has served its purpose well, and now someone buys the property, and the first thing they do is they bring the big excavator in and just demolish the house. And next thing you know, there's a nice new house standing there where people can now create new memories, and a whole new generation of stories can start. So we have the old year and the new year. We have what's behind us that we can learn from, and we can, the things that we've learned, we can apply those to the things and things, the challenges that are in front of us, and the new opportunities that are in front of us. That's the kind of thing, tearing down and building up. We can get rid of the baggage in our lives. I think there's an area for us that, practically speaking, spiritually, sometimes some of the baggage and things in our lives needs to be torn down and replaced with new ways of thinking, new commitments and resolutions, if you would, to find healing and to just think in new ways. Anyway, last night as I was preparing to share this short opening and some of my thoughts, my mind went to a number of different scriptures that might help us understand our humanity and should cause us to spend some time in reflecting on what happened this past year and how we will prepare our hearts for what God may have for us this next year. I just invite you to turn to Isaiah 40. Isaiah here is speaking, and he says in verse 27, "Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." You know, because of our humanity experience, we may find it a bit hard to understand exactly what verse 28 here is really even telling us. Here's Isaiah making a bold declaration about God never getting tired or fainting. And then he goes on in 29 and talks about how God passes his power on to us that are faint and weak in order that our strength might be restored. You know, like I mentioned, the older I get, the more I'm beginning to realize that my utter dependency on God to restore my strength. With each year that passes, the changes we experience physically and what we see happening around us, we more and more are called to embrace the power of a living Jesus, to equip us for what lies ahead of us in the years that are in front of us. Our mortality becomes more prevalent the older we get. Most of you know that next Monday I'm scheduled for carotid artery surgery. I'm not looking forward to that, but I'm realizing that I need to depend on the living Jesus. I need his power infused into my heart. I need to know that I can depend on him, and I can know that by believing the word that he's spoken. I can believe that by embracing the reality of the existence of a real God and a Jesus that rose from the grave. And I'm grateful for that today. And so as we look at this scripture here in Isaiah, it speaks about the unique or the drastic difference between who God is and who we are. And it's okay for us to acknowledge our weaknesses, the fact that we need rest every night to survive the next day. Oh yeah, you can maybe go one night without rest, but you're not going to be very efficient the next day. That just doesn't work for anyone. We need to be restored. And isn't it just so totally amazing when you crawl into your bed and you drop off into your unconsciousness, how that rest restores you, and the next morning you actually can go again. God just does that. He has his way of infusing strength back into you while you rest, while you sleep. It's just amazing to think about that. It's okay to acknowledge that even the youth, the young men who are strong and healthy, that they need that same rest. James, Reuben, you can't just not go to bed and not sleep. You need that rest. We all do. And so when we consider how God wants to use us in this new year, it may look big and daunting. It may look bigger than us. Just take it one day at a time. God says, I will infuse my power and my strength into you for every moment that is needed. Mothers, when you're exhausted, get the rest when you can, but lean most heavily on that power that God wants to infuse into your hearts and your minds and your lives. There's a glorious promise that we see in verse 31. And too many times we fail to remember that there is this verse. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Think about that promise. God says, I will restore and will give you the strength to fly like an eagle. Now, not literally, of course, we know that, but we can actually be efficient and effective, and we can learn to know that His strength has been given to us. We'll be able to run the race. I think that's what He's trying to say here. It's not that we're going to go out and all day long among our work responsibilities that we're going to be running to every project that we have to do, but that we'll be able to be efficient and effective, and especially spiritually, I think He will raise us up into a standard of holiness that will empower us to walk out and not faint. When Satan comes and his attacks come strong against us, this is the promise that we can claim. And then this truth is further made clear in 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 19. Says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. I like that. You know, 2023 and all of the baggage that went with us is now behind us. There's a lot of good things happened. We know that. But the baggage is gone too. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new in Christ. This is what he's saying here. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. I love that verse. Last night as I was studying this a bit, it just hit me so hard. That's what God is really all about. When we think about who we are, who we're called to be, God has called us into the ministry of reconciliation. What is reconciliation? Somebody just pop it out. What to you, what's reconciliation? Restored. Yeah, just restored. Help restore broken relationships. Help restore just whatever is broken, whatever needs restoration. Let's be those people, because God says it's possible. We're called to the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their righteousness unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So for me, if there was one goal that I would really want to have for my life this year, is to be even more effective in being a person of reconciliation. To be able to help restore broken things. To speak life. To speak encouragement. To be what God has called us to be for what He's given to us. He gave us reconciliation. He made it possible so that we can be reconciled to Him. And now He's saying, you're called to a ministry of reconciliation. And then the last one that I have that I want to share with you is in 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 9, where it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found under praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." I'm expecting that some of us, or maybe all of us, will have moments of trials and testings this year. I'm expecting that will happen. And he's inviting us to let those times be the very thing that drives us to Jesus. And so if there's a good goal to have, that would be one. To not give up when tough things come, but to learn to run to Jesus with those and realize that he can take what feels so vulnerable and so raw and so wrong into something so glorious for the benefit of his kingdom and for our own spiritual well-being. So as we consider what might be in this next year, let's not become paralyzed by the changes that we aren't expecting. And let's not give up in defeat when our dreams aren't realized as we wish they would have been. Here's that little story to illustrate what I'm trying to say with that. The title is "Don't Cling to the Firewood." It's written by a Dr. Ralph Wilson. Children, listen up. You should enjoy this little story. They're just a young couple, I can tell. These mouse holders who have taken up residence in the woodpile are just starting out in life. They've built a nest under the pile of oak firewood I am unloading into the back of our station wagon. We had our first frost a few days ago and had spent several days winterizing our house. So had this mouse couple. At the bottom of the woodpile, their nest would be dry and warm in all but the wettest of storms, ready for the young ones that would surely be coming soon. I think of my wife and me in our first apartment many years ago. So excited, so optimistic. These are tiny mice, equipped with miniature jumping legs, their little bodies only 2.5 inches long, if you don't count the tail. I must seem like a huge giant as I deconstruct their carefully built lives, one log at a time. This man must have been a very tender man. I feel sorry for them. Such cute little creatures, so hopeful for the future, yet so filled with terror at what is happening to them. "What's going on, dear?" the mouse bride cries. "I don't know," her husband answers. "Nothing like this has ever happened before." He's wrong, of course. Change happens constantly, but thankfully it's not too often that our entire lives are altered forever by external events. A few weeks after my bride and I had moved into our first apartment, I received a draft notice. "Greetings from the President of the United States. Yes, greetings to you too, Mr. President. Our carefully constructed lives suddenly took a sharp turn." You've had some of those turns too. The death of someone very close to you, a broken relationship, loss of a job, perhaps a failure of business, an illness or injury. Suddenly, life is not the same and never will be again. Everything's different, and we try to cope. sometimes in healthy ways, sometimes in self-destructive ways. I keep loading the firewood into the back of the wagon. I'm about to stack it higher, yet when I see one of the tiny mice clinging to a piece of firewood in the back of the car. Another few seconds and he would have been crushed. I pick him up by his long tail, set him on the ground, and go back to get more logs. When I return, he is still at the same place on the ground where I put him, stunned by these events, barely able to get out of harm's way. We're so mouse-like sometimes. Life goes on. The props change, sometimes all too often. We're so tempted to cling to the props as they are being dragged off the set. And sometimes we're hurt because of our inability to let go, so attached to the baggage of the past that it's impossible for us to welcome the future. Change requires courage, great helpings of it. My mind goes to Joshua in the Bible. For nearly 40 years, he has been an understudy to the great leader Moses. Now Moses is dead and leadership is thrust fully upon Joshua. Ahead is the Jordan River running at flood stage, and beyond that, the fortified cities of Canaan, the promised land. That seems so elusive. Talk about change. Joshua has change swirling all around him. And God speaks to him a word. Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Our mouse couple looks up as their world is trembling. One by one, the logs that comprise their shelter are disappearing, and soon only open sky is above. What do you do? Do you cling to the firewood and risk being crushed by it, or do you cling to God's promise to you? God has promised to be with you wherever you go. He has promised never to leave you or forsake you. What he asks of you is faith to overcome your terror, courage to meet your discouragement, and confidence to draw on his strength. Change is a constant. No part of our lives will endure unchanged for more than a few years, a few decades at most. But the Lord our God is unchangeable. That's the point that we've been making with some of those scriptures. He is forever. You can put down your roots into him, knowing that in this way you will never be utterly uprooted again. I think of Mr. and Mrs. Mouse. My heart goes out to them. I've been where they are, and so have you. And I hope that even as I'm writing these words, they are dragging their nest into another shelter in the woods to keep them dry and warm this winter. I hope that Mr. Mouse has finally got over his shock and got with the program. Older now and wiser they are. And if I could offer just one word of advice for them and for you and for me, it would be this. Don't cling to the firewood. With that, I will open it up, and it's your turn to share where you're at, where you were, where you want to go. What's God doing in your life? Anyone is welcome. Who goes first?
I don't think I came too well prepared to share anything, but something I think God's been working on me this year, past year, and still needs a lot of work. I think I've learned a little bit, but is not being in control of everything.
Amen.
I tend to like to know what's going on in my life and control of everything, and that's not, I know it's not right. And then I was just reminded again of that in the last 2 weeks. It's been an interesting 2 weeks for us, but we had, right before the cold snap hit, my furnace went out, and I was working like crazy to try to get it going again, and I couldn't get it going again. And finally, called a plumber, and they said they couldn't get out, and praying about it, and finally got a hold of the plumber again right a couple hours before the storm hit, And he said he can send one guy out, and he came out and fixed it. And I just realized that, you know, I was not in control of that. God was. And this week we were planning on going south, and the boys ended up getting sick, and we ended up staying home all week. And just had to reflect on that. Just, I'm not in control of anything. And it's
Amen.
Just, I mean, living in God's will. And but some verses that really stand out to me is in Psalm 103, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies." And I just want to, this next year, just be mindful of that and leave everything up to God in my life.
Amen. Thank you, James.
Looking back at 2022, so it was probably one of our most hectic years we've ever had with building and everything. But we do have a lot to be thankful for, and I must say it, you could look at it like God is blessing us with the year we had, is adding on to our family and all that. There's some things I thought about that I definitely want to take some time this year to work on. And that is, number one is slowing down and taking some more time, read my Bible more, read in general more. I haven't read much in a long time, and I used to love reading, and that's one of the things I want to work on. And I look at New Year's as a somewhat of a time to hit the reset button in my life. Not going back to default settings, but getting rid of the baggage as much as possible. You know, kind of a time to refresh and work on improvements and whatnot. And whether you want to call them resolutions or goals or whatever you want to call them, I feel like how weak or how strong you make them is up to each individual. And I always look at them more as goals than resolutions, but be a little vulnerable. I mean, there's some small things I definitely want to work on as well. And I guess I'll mention this. This morning I asked Barbara, "Do I have a toothbrush?" Which is basically saying I haven't brushed my teeth in a good while, so I know that's not good, and so I need to do better, and a lot of stuff like that, just small things. And when I was talking about it on the way to church this morning, it helped the kids do that as well. So I think that's all I have.
Those are all really good things, because when we share them like this, then we feel accountable. That's why these kinds of opportunities are so good for each other. Is when we look at sharing honestly, then we become more responsible to brothers and sisters around us and to your family.
I don't know if I have anything that valuable to say or that spectacular or anything, but you know, I've thought about this different times, you know, when New Year's rolls around and all the New Year's resolutions, and I thought, well, maybe I should have the resolution, a New Year's resolution, that I don't have any New Year's resolution. And, you know, sometimes we look at it and, you know, how can we do better? How can we go forward? How can we get the things done we want to get done? And sometimes we think if we can trick ourselves, or we can kind of somehow manipulate ourselves into thinking or doing, or you know, and then that thing just makes another big circle, and it's like how do we really get to where we want to go? And I'm not sure I have a really good solid answer for that, other than maybe it's the thing, like if you want something, you have to cultivate it. If you want to, you know, it talks about you know, if you want faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so there's kind of some steps to, you know, how do you make yourself feel like reading the Word of God? How do you even start? You know, where does this? How do you get it done? And I guess, you know, something comes to mind. You know, we can have all these lofty goals, and we want to climb this mountain, and we look way up at this peak, and that's where we want to go. So we set our goal there that we want to climb. We want to get to the top of that peak, and it's a lofty goal. It's a great goal to have, but it's maybe unrealistic in the time frame that we have. You know, sometimes I think we're better off setting smaller goals and achieving those goals, and you know, keep setting more goals. You know, thought comes to me of a ratchet strap or a chain binder or something. You know, you're tying down a load, and it's just one little ratchet at a time, and you know, you have a handle on it, and you get leverage on that, and you get it one more click, and the thing gets tighter, and it gets tighter, and you can have some tremendous power with that to tie down something very heavy than if you just tried to wrap something down and you know, tie it and secure it or whatever. You don't make much progress at a time, but it's progress, and it's solid progress. And once you have it secured, you have it. It's just one notch at a time. And I think maybe that's how I look at life sometimes, that, you know, let's, not that we don't want to have big goals, but that we, you know, do the little things and then cross them off our list. And then it actually makes you feel better to have more goals. Here a couple months ago, I started doing more of it. I try to be organized, but you know how it goes. It just, you know, stuff slips through the cracks. But if you actually start making lists of things you want to do, and my phone actually has a nice little note thing on it that when you put something in the notepad, it has a little circle in front of it that when you get done with it, you can just hit that and it checks it off and bumps it down, and it's like, it actually makes you want to do things and cross them off your list, I think. And I've been doing that. You know, I have different lists for different things, whether it's, you know, something you need in town. You think of something during the day, oh, I got to get that when I go to the store next time. You quick put it in your phone, and when you're at the store, you look at your list, and there it is. And it's like, you don't have to think, oh, what did I, you know, remember, you know, what am I forgetting? I know there's something I need to be getting. And there's just little things like that that I think, if we take them one at a time, and we, you know, whether it's reading the Bible or, you know, more this year or whatever it is, you know, in our study that we had in brothers' meeting that we have, you know, it talked about it in the one lesson about reading more, and it said just take 10 minutes more, you know, just take 5 minutes more. You know, even 2 minutes more, it's progress. You know, you take a little bit at a time, instead of just saying, I need to read a half an hour more, and then it lasts for, you know, 2 days or something like that. But I guess that's just what I've been thinking, you know. I don't mean to talk this long, but the other thing I was thinking, too, before Dave was sharing, the thought came to me this morning that, you know, if I had one goal, throughout this year, maybe it would be a good goal to have. I didn't thought about it a lot, but it kind of just came to me that to fix the things that are broken, and whether that's in relationships like we heard already, or whether it's, you know, even things, you know, around the house. You know, when you go down the road, you know, so far that everything's broken, you get into despair. Like your vehicle's everything's broke on your vehicle. You know, it's like, this needs fixed, that needs fixed. Well, if you fixed them, you know, one at a time as they broke, you wouldn't probably feel quite that way. And that's how it goes in life in general, I guess. But one last thing as far as New Year's resolution, I think, you know, maybe we should look at, you know, it seems to me that people think about it the January 1st all the time. Maybe we should think about it every month. Maybe we should think about it every week or every day. You know, refresh, you know, what can we do today? What can we do this week, you know? instead of saying this year we want to do this. And then it comes back to, I guess, to that ratchet explanation that maybe we take a day at a time and we do what God has for us. And yet, I like what James said too, with you know, laying our lives down. We're not in control, and it's like we go ahead, we put forth effort and we go ahead, but then we lay down, and then we go ahead and then we lay down. And it's just always this constant pushing forward, but yet laying down our lives for God's sake.
Amen.
My testimony from the last year is just gratefulness. I just feel really grateful and blessed that God's brought me through a big goal of finishing school. And in the middle of those 4.5 years, I love learning, and I feel really blessed that I got that opportunity. But in the middle of all of that, sometimes I didn't really know if I was, sometimes I felt like, is this the right thing? This is a lot of sacrifice. It's a lot of work. But I kept showing up, and God was faithful. And
amen.
Even in the middle of times, and I was like, you know, this is the poorest I've ever been, or this is hard, or I really wish I could be hanging out with my nieces and nephews or things like that. God kept opening the way, providing scholarships and opportunities, and so I don't really know going forward where the path will lead, but I just feel really grateful that I got here, and I feel like God wanted me to do that because he kept opening the doors and making a path for me. So I just feel grateful and thankful for everybody who supported me. And, you know, even when you would just like send home a plate of food, that was really nice. So thanks a lot to so many people who cheered me on. And going forward, I feel excited. I don't know what the year ahead holds, but I feel excited to see where God takes me next. So my testimony is gratefulness and also anticipation, I guess, for the next year.
Thank you, Sarah. Up here, Mike or Tim.
And thinking about the last year, it's been a year of change. Lots of changes in our lives. Family changes with the passing of my sister and my dad. Changes in work. Just changes in health. A lot of different things. And so this morning, or last night, even when I was thinking about all of that, I'm so grateful that God doesn't change. But often he uses the changes in our lives to change us. And I think that would be my hope or goal for the next year, would be just to trust him in those changes, whatever changes may come, and that he will just, and we know he's going to be faithful just like he has in the past. And I thought of a poem that I memorized many years ago. My mom had put it on the wall, and I might have even shared it here before. But it goes something like, he does not lead me year by year, nor even day by day, but step by step my path unfolds. My Lord directs my way. Tomorrow's plans I do not know. I only know this minute. But he will say, this is the way. By faith now walk ye in it. And I am glad that it is so. Today's enough to bear. And when tomorrow comes, his grace will far exceed its care. Why should I worry then or fret? The God who gave his son holds all my moments in his hand and gives them one by one.
Yeah, I guess what Mom said is a lot what I was thinking of. We were talking on the way here how it sounds kind of ungrateful, or I don't know, bad to say this, but our last Christmas season was kind of the pits, or it felt like that a little bit, because Grandpa passed away, is that right? Right before. Yeah. Oh, that's right. So New Year's Eve last year, we were at a funeral. Anyway, but and how much that changed, especially for Mom, her life was a lot of taking care of both of them, and how much that changed things. But then we were in the middle of moving too, and so there's a lot of big stuff that kind of changed in our lives. And then in the summer we had that big storm come through, and I know it's in the grand scheme of things it's a small thing, but it was kind of like, we just moved into this place and a bunch of trees get destroyed and our basement floods a couple times, and it's like, why are we here? Did we make the right decision? Maybe this was like God showing us we were too fast and whatever we did. And then, and I don't know, maybe, how can we know that for sure? But looking back on it now, I realized that storm and the cleanup from it and being able to help our neighbors with some of that and, things like that kind of opened the doors in ways that nothing else really can. And we have a relationship now with our neighbors that I don't think we would have ever had without that thing. That kind of, we were all working together, sharing generators and, helping to clean up and just back and forth a lot. And so now we have a relationship with them that, like I said, I don't think we would before, or we would have had, at least not for a long time, and kind of a trust in each other. And so at the time, it seemed like just a bummer, but now I think it's turning into a blessing. And that's why that verse, second verse in that song that we sang, "And thou hast made each step an onward one," some of those things, it's like, why is this happening? This doesn't make any sense. And yet in the big picture, it's kind of a, it turns into a blessing, I guess. And that verse in Hebrews, Romans, I think it is, "God works all things together for good to them that love him." And even thinking about what it was like to be without electricity for a week, it makes me empathize much more with the people of Ukraine right now and what they're dealing with. And, it's that reminder to pray for them, because I know a little bit what that's like. Obviously, it was not because missiles are dropping on us, so I can't even really relate to that. But, wanting to see the protection of God over them and how we've been able to help and whatever in little ways. All those things I think are a blessing because of that. And so I guess as far as next year, I can very much relate to what James said sometimes you need to let go of that control. And I think sometimes the resolutions or the goals are, in a sense, us wanting to be in control. And I don't know that that's always the case, and I certainly have some things that I want to do or work on. But on the other hand, I think I want to be more willing to just be available if God asks us to do something that's different than what I thought. And if that means giving up the goals that I have or had, then I want to be okay with that.
Kind of along with what Weldon shared with just a lot of the changes and big things that happened last year, I just keep thinking of how incredibly faithful God was and is. He saw us through the challenging moments and the hard moments and the good moments. And, sometimes for me, I think, thinking about all the things that happened last year, what could happen in the coming year, and it's just an incredible comfort to know that we can rest in God's faithfulness. I'm just so thankful to God that he's so faithful to continue to work even in difficult moments. And I guess an area that I've been thinking about wanting to grow in the coming year is to not rely on my own strength or understanding. So often in mothering, there's so many moments where you just kind of react, just knee-jerk reactions. And I want to learn to stop and pause and to ask God, what do you think? I don't know what to do next. Show me. Because I know he'll be faithful to do that, and he has been in the past when I do that. And so that's something that I want to ask God to help me grow in.
Something I forgot. I did want to thank all of you for all the help this past summer in our building project. And a few of you brought meals. Really appreciate that. And I also wanted to mention that my grandma is very sick right now. She's around 90 years old. Probably not going to live too much longer, so might want to. As far as I know, she's ready to go. We're hoping and praying that she can pass peacefully without too much pain. But she's got a pretty major cough and congestion right now, so keep her in your prayers.
In this past year, our family has had a lot of ups and downs. And I know personally for myself, I wouldn't be where I am today without my parents. So for that, I just want to thank them. And I want to just take it into this new year to be more like them, more open, more giving, no judgment or anything at all. So I just really wanted to say that.
Thank you, Mariah.
Yeah, I guess for me, thinking back on the past year, I guess to summarize it in a very short few words would be growth in Christ and also just in trusting him. I was really thinking on the verse that you shared, Dave, on they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Amen. That's a verse that I learned way back when I was in school, and that verse has stuck with me ever since. Mm-hmm. And just being patient and waiting on God, and he will bring that strength. And also, I was been reading in Genesis some, and reading, just thinking of Noah and Abram, their faith that they had in God, and just trusting him through what looked impossible, but yet they trusted what God was telling them. And so just to back all the way back then, we still serve the same God today. Amen. As they did back in their time, and he hasn't changed. And so just that encouragement to me that there's doesn't matter what we face, God, he is always true and faithful. I guess going into 2023, a verse here kind of as a looking forward would be in Philippians 1, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just to keep that focus on God has a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us, and to just stay focused on that and allow him to continually do that work and just be surrendered to his will. So, yeah. And also to be that light in the midst of the confusion and darkness, everyday stuff that we face, but just to be that light for those who are going through hard stuff.
Amen.
That's another challenge for me, that I want to be that light, shine forth Christ. So, yeah.
Amen. Thank you, Brian. All right. Thank you all for sharing. I think this is good. Gives us cause to pause and reflect and just decide in our own hearts, has God been doing good things for us, and where does he want to take us? I think as a congregation, my heart would be, just as a word of encouragement, as a congregation, I would love to see us just standing together stronger with a spirit and a heart to minister, to serve one another well and beyond that, to find opportunities to go beyond that. We can get stale just staying here and serving each other. But when we start reaping benefit, when we start seeing and reaping greater benefits, is when we look beyond ourselves and we start ministering and serving others as well. So let's make that one of our goals, if you would, to just really commit to serving the needs of humanity so that they can see Jesus. Let's all stand together.